What is our purpose in life? The topic tonight is knowing your purpose. What is our purpose? Some of us, we can, all of us, let's get it straight. All of us are blessed. From the moment of conception up till the time we leave our body. But most of us, we conflate our life purpose with our professional job. Or with making money or being famous or whatever it is. Later on, we may realize that our life purpose has nothing to do with that. It is important to realize that the only one who determines our life purpose is God and gives us that inspiration. Sometimes something we are passionate about is different from our professional life. And that's why I'm sure pretty much all of us have heard this, where they say, if you have a job that you are passionate about, that satisfies that itch that, you know, you are very lucky. Even though the task might be unbelievably demanding, the responsibility, but because it is your purpose, that passion is there. You are willing joyfully to do that task, even though people say, how do you do this? How do you know? And for those of us who have jobs that are not our life purpose, it is okay. It is not to denigrate it, because that job might be helping us to be able to serve our life purpose, might be the stream feeding, you know. We've heard, or we know, that they say the purpose of life, the only thing that is meaningful is serving God, is knowing God, is coming together in that harmony, in that oneness with God. That is why all of us are here. But then we got all seduced to other things. Maybe we give 4 hours to God, max, in a day. The rest, what are we doing with it? And yet, when we need something, oh yeah, we're going to, you know, morning, night and day, night and day, I look for you night and day, night and day, night and day, you know, give me this, give me this, give me this. And I'm not talking about any of you, because I've seen myself do this, and I chuckle like, look at that. When you need God, you know where God is, you know. You will call God's cell phone, you call God's landline, you will call God, you will DM God, you will send text, email, you know, you will Instagram God, you will WhatsApp. In other words, when you need it, you will, no stone unturned. And God chuckles like, yeah, that's my child. That's how, God says, that's how I want a relationship with you. But once whatever has been satisfied, or whatever, even if we don't get it, then we move on again. And then we give 4 hours again to God. But the fact remains, knowing our purpose of life gives meaning to life. Because when you know that purpose, like I've said earlier, you are more than willing to do the hard work. It might be demanding. Sometimes we don't even know how to do it. Something will lead us to it. So it makes our life worthwhile. Brings meaning. In the book of Philippians, that's the Christian Bible now, what they call the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 12. Paul, who used to be Saul, writes, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What does that really mean? I press on means I strive. I continue to go forward. To embrace, to become one, which Christ Jesus took hold of me. In other words, Christ Jesus, representing God in this sense, has shown us the way. So he's holding that door open for us. And it doesn't matter whether we're the greatest sinners or the, you know, it's like, look, this is the right way. I will open the door. I will hold it for you. You can come in anytime. But it's always delicious if you follow right away and stay on that. Because once the Spirit of God grabs you, it is a good thing. Although it might demand of any of us things that we don't want to give up. I mean, we all have weaknesses. We all have addictions or whatever it is. And we all know something you are addicted to, attached to, sometimes is a lot of work to give it up. Because it is serving a purpose. When I mean that purpose, I don't mean the other purposes. Because in that weakness, God is showing God's self. That look, yeah, don't judge it. Don't condemn it. Embrace your weakness and then put it out there. Bring it to me. Because once you embrace what you are afraid of, once you embrace that which is, you know, making you do something, then it stops fighting you. And then you can go inward to that power in you and use it and present it to at the footstool of God and let it go. That's what sometimes they call feeding your demons. You know? Whenever you don't acknowledge it, you are, then it gets stronger. But when you acknowledge it, you look it face, eye to eye, then you might be able to find a solution to it. It's like somebody you call your friend, you only see them once in a while. You know? They might still be your friend. But you don't know things about them until you spend that intimate time with them. There's a lot of things you will know when you spend more time with people, that intimacy, than if it's just, oh, your co-worker. And in the process, you will know what works for them, what doesn't work for them. You will know how to help them better than if it's a distance. And that's how we should treat our weaknesses. In my note, it says, we all have weaknesses and they make us unique. If you want to talk about people who are addicted to alcohol, they are not the same. They might be addicted to, but they behave in totally different way because each of us are unique. Even when people love chocolate, they are not the same. The way some of them will, the flavor in their mouth, or the way they will eat the chocolate, or the way they think about it, will be different from the way you think about it. We all have weaknesses, and they make us unique. These weaknesses are put there deliberately by God so he can use our weaknesses for his glory. When you begin to deny, defend, excuse, and resent them, we prevent God from using them the way he desires. Now, when we say these weaknesses are put there deliberately by God, it doesn't mean God made you an alcoholic or whatever other addictions we have. It means God gave us the freedom. And when we saw that bling bling, we went there. God could have prevented that. Because all it takes is one time. You bite it, and then it has its own effect throughout the rest of our existence. Otherwise, none of us would be here. We were created in freedom. Somehow we went to Times Square. We saw all the bling. Oh, I don't know. Stay here. And then we forget we live in Oregon or California. I don't see Times Square here in Portland area. So imagine the distance from New York to here. But if we had just gone downtown Portland or wherever any of us live that is close, it would be easier for us to close that gap. So when we say, these weaknesses are put there deliberately by God because God allows it. And then we know these things couldn't have created themselves. The people who were inspired to create that bling bling at Times Square and all these things that we love. The inspiration didn't come from nowhere. It came from the divine's universal consciousness. If God only used perfect people, nothing would get done. God will use anybody if you are available. In our weaknesses, what does it happen? God uses us. God doesn't condemn us. God says, okay, I know what you have. You will still be my child, and I still want you to do what I want you to do. Because in the process of following your life purpose, you will relinquish that which is no longer serving you. That's why God doesn't condemn, but we condemn ourselves and we condemn others. Here it says, without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance. No hope. Let me repeat that again. Without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. Because why are we here if, if there's nothing meaningful for us to achieve here? Because when you actually will reflect on it, it's the same old story from incarnation to incarnation. We wake up, we seek our daily bread, we eat, we do the bodily function, we do other things. We might invent things. Everything we do is to sustain this life. And at the end, the life kaput. So if it's not about God, then is it worth all the tests and things we go through? To me, I don't think so. But if it is to make me one with God, then it makes sense. Because how many incarnations do I have to come here, do the same thing again? Oh, I like this one. I don't like this one. Okay, you know, I'm going to vote. I'm not going to vote. Yeah, the latest now is electric car, right? How is it different from using donkey? It moves you from one place to the other. That is transportation, period. We fly from one place to another. It's transportation. Anything that gets you from one to is transportation. Although we think, oh, life is, no. And you have your futron. It will take you anywhere. Just have to persevere. You can walk 10,000 miles. So can you imagine if we keep coming back all because of transportation? Isn't that boring here? Yeah, what is the nice chocolate they have now? I know a lot of people like chocolate, you know, or candy. And then imagine way back before they even know how to do that. The people who first saw cocoa, because that's where chocolate comes from. They tasted, if you have ever tasted the cocoa part, the seed, oh my God, the natural taste, I don't think chocolate can compete with it. So it's about the taste, but it's about the food. So the same food that people eat eons of years ago, now we've turned it into chocolate. And we think, oh, that's what life is about. Do you guys see what I'm talking about? It's boring if that is. So it has. There has to be more to life than life repeating itself, just coming, dressing up in a different way. Without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. They said the greatest tragedy is not death. The greatest tragedy is to live without a purpose. And yet we all fear death, or we at least we know sooner or later it's going to come. And then when it does come, some of us who don't have our parents anymore, but then when we settle down, death does not take away the memory you have of those parents. They may have died 2,000 years ago. You still have the pleasant memory you have of them. So how can that be a tragedy? You know, but to live a life doing the same thing incarnation now, that is a tragedy. Oh, I want transportation, donkey, horse, you know, whatever it is. And with that purpose, that's what we call is a life sentence. We were made to have meaning. I know the plans I have for you. Some of you, you've heard me talk about that. That is God talking in the book of Jeremiah. You know that before you were created, I know the plan I have for you. Now it's for us to find that plan and to work with that plan. So we see that everything, that initiative is from God. You and I didn't create our purpose. Paul's life, remember I press on to take hold of that which Jesus has, had been transformed because the grace of Jesus had taken hold of him. We know how he was when he was Saul. Oh yeah, he was going after them. This is why Paul can be so, you know, emphatic. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his suffering. Because this is Philippians 3:10. Because Jesus has shown Paul love and forgiveness in friendship. Some of us might not remember that Saul was on his way on the Damascus Road, isn't it? And he heard, Saul, why do you persecute me? Like, who the heck do you think? Where is that voice coming from? Why do you persecute you? Say, I'm Jesus. Oh. Paul, he remembers that, yeah, he was still going after them because he was on his way to go persecute them again too. And then he went blind and, you know. Because if that was us, we're not going to be telling Paul, why are you doing this to me? Oh, we will hide and beat the crap out of him, won't we? We'll make sure we demolish him so that he will never be able to raise a finger against us. You see it in our political arena. The Democrats don't like the Republicans don't like the Democrats, and whatever else is going on all over the world. You see the Palestinians and the Israelites. Why do we do that? Jesus has shown Paul love and forgiveness in friendship. Jesus had given Paul meaning and hope, a new purpose for living. Because hope is as essential to our lives as air and water. We need hope in order to cope with how life beats the crap out of us. And then who is that hope? Who is that hope? What is that hope? It's God. So because without that, without knowing that there's a higher power that can subdue all the things that beat us up. I mean, most of us will just collapse wherever we are or when things are happening to us. Just that's it. But we've all heard stories of people that they've gone through unbelievable tragedy. And it wasn't pretty when it happened to them. But then it became an inspiration when we see the after effect, like, you went through that and you survived that? Huh. There's a person called Dr. Bernie Siegel. This is what he said. He said that he could predict which of his cancer patients would go into remission by simply asking, do you want to live to be 100? Yes or no? Those with a deep sense of life purpose answered yes and were the ones most likely to survive. Hope comes from having a purpose. And that's where, when you have a purpose that is meaningful, oh, you will move heaven and earth. When they say, stand still, Lord, yes, I heard you, I know that's, but can you give me an extension? I'm not ready to go because I haven't completed this. And God has been known for that, to extend and say, okay. But it must be meaningful. It must be something that is purposeful for us. That our passion, everything is into it. Can't just say, Lord, well, I don't want to go because I still need to make money. I want to be famous.